This might seem a little strange to you, but sometimes his word actually comes out of my own mouth. His word to me comes out of my own mouth. Have you ever had a word for someone and you went, spoke it to them and you go, oh, boy, I need that one. I'll tell you a little story here, but Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I included the last two verses there. I mean, what I'm focusing on is verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. God's word is in you. Do you know how I know? Because he is in you, and he is his word. The reason you can hear him is because he lives in you. Your heart is the mercy seat. He can sit on the mercy seat of your heart because you are the righteousness of the Ark of the Covenant. You are the perfect righteousness. You are the place he can sit. So he being in you means his word is in you, in your mouth and in your heart. Now the last two verses, I wanted to just mention something about Romans 10:10. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It does not say with the brain one believes unto righteousness. Now there is a little bit of scientific reality here that I want to just mention, but the heart projects brain waves in the same way that the brain does, and a much bigger radius. So the brain projects radio waves. I can show you a study, I don't have it with me, about 3 feet out. So 3 foot radius. If you get within 3 feet of someone, you're in their personal space, you're also within what you're sensing. There's a bit of connection that you're sensing with the person. That is a radio wave connection. The heart projects radio waves, guess how far? And I learned this before all of the COVID stuff. 6 feet out, your heart will project. Why 6 feet of separation? To keep people's hearts from connecting. It has nothing to do with how far you can cough. There is a reason the devil tried to keep people from connecting by keeping them 6 feet apart from each other. Now, when I saw the study, I was like, what a jerk. But think of it this way. Your heart is where your faith resides, not your thoughts, not your concepts. Guess where you hear the voice of God? In your brain or in your heart? You don't hear him in your brain. Not your brain connects with the thoughts that are in your heart. Have you ever I'm sure you've heard the phrase, follow your heart, follow your gut. What's that? Is your gut a thinking organ? No, it's your heart. It isn't just your heart being the core of your being. Your heart, literally, there is a physical component to this as well as a spiritual component. So recognize that when thoughts come to you, and this might seem a little technical to you, but you'll get it. If you've experienced it, you've probably already felt this. But when thoughts come to me, when I'm thinking thoughts, I have thoughts like this. Just, they're here. When the Lord speaks to me, it comes from here. It comes from here. I feel it here, and I know it. I wish I could describe it more like effectively so that you could just grab it and do it. It takes practice. You have to be aware of the flutters of your heart. When your heart just, and you go, ah, and you know something you shouldn't know. Yeah, there's a thought that comes to you that you weren't generating. There's something that, and you know it came from here. Pay attention. The devil cannot speak from your heart. The devil tries to offer you thoughts to your brain. And that's where condemnation, that's where negativity, all that stuff comes from there. When it comes from your heart, you'll have peace and love accompanying it because it comes from the Lord. It's where your faith resides. You hear him by faith. Now, the verse that I read about his word being in your mouth, his that word of faith which we speak, this happened to me, came right out of my own mouth, and I'd been asking the Lord about Wengard Ministries and doing Hope for Today broadcasts. Which if you guys podcasts, do you guys listen to podcasts? Go on Spotify and look for Hope for Today. It's Hope for Today by Wengard Ministries. But I was getting that started and I was like, what's the purpose of it? It's not just a tagline, but I wanted to be like, what am I doing here with this? And I went to bed with that on my mind, like asking the Lord, show me what this is. I don't want to do something with just to do something. And I got up in the morning, and I get up pretty easily. It's not hard for me to wake up. I like mornings. In fact, I've actually jumped out of bed already. Like, woke up when I landed, like that. Like, it was kind of weird. But anyway, I like getting up in the morning. I got up and I walked out of our bedroom. It's like, we're on the main floor. And it goes right out into the dining room and kitchen. And I just walked out into that area. Had only been awake for 30 seconds. Like, it's not like I wasn't thinking anything. I was going to go turn the coffee maker on or something. I don't know. And out of my mouth, I said it out loud. Nobody else is awake. And I just walk out there and I went, delivering hope to every heart. And I stopped. I was like, what was that? I didn't even mean to talk. I didn't even try. Like, it came out of my mouth. What was that? And he said, that's what you're doing with the podcast, delivering hope to every heart. I said, yes, sir, I'll put it right in there. So if you listen to the podcast, I say we are delivering hope to every heart. That's where it came from. It came right from my own mouth, but it was him speaking directly. My brain wasn't even engaged. It was really cool. And I realized he is so unlimited in how he can speak to us if we're willing to hear him. Now you can say, well, that wasn't God. You talked. Okay. That's why it's not working for you. Like, it's not that hard. Don't dismiss it as nothing. Just be willing to hear him. When I'm saying that, okay, you can disbelieve that was God and all that stuff, but I would just go, why the unbelief? Why are we not willing to believe that we're hearing him? Why the unbelief? Why dismiss it? What are you afraid of? You afraid of missing it? Unbelief is going to make you miss it. Like, you're afraid of missing it? That's what's going to happen. We're so afraid of getting it wrong that we get it wrong. And I want to encourage you to believe. Let your heart believe that you hear him. Now, one other thing, and this is a real key that took me a bit to learn. And not just learn how to hear his voice, but learn how to implement it in my own life. He said to me one day, I was just sitting with him, and he said, "I only lead by love. I will never lead by fear." And I said, "Okay, only lead by love. Never by fear." Well, how is that? Like, what? Explain that. And he said, "I can't fear. It's not in me. I am love. God is love." Then he said verses to me, "Perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. Faith works by love. God is love." And I realized, not only does he not lead by fear, it's impossible for him to lead by fear. It's like if I would have a pitcher of clear water, it's impossible for me to pour molasses out of it. It's not in there. You can't. It's not gonna, unless it changes to something inside there, which he's not going to change. He is love. He cannot pour out fear. So, when you hear God's voice, recognize if there's fear attached to it. If there's fear, it's probably the enemy. Put it this way. We have the opportunity, with every decision we make, to respond to fear or to love. To act on fear or on love. Most of the time, we're not introspective enough that we recognize it. We don't really think about it. We just go, "Oh, we can't do that." Fear. What do you mean you can't do that? If there's fear, go toward it, not away from it. I'm saying, stand in the face of fear and go, why the fear? Ask yourself this question. One of the reasons that that for the unbelief about hearing God's voice is fear that you're missing it. Fear that you're hearing wrong. Fear that the enemy's going to talk to you. The enemy wants you to be afraid. I'll give you an example. This is hypothetical here, but imagine if there's someone that you love. So I'll say it first person. If it's me and my little kid is running down to the street, and I see there's a car coming, and I yell at him or I run and grab him, was my action based on fear or love? There's a car coming. You could go, "Well, you were afraid for the car. Afraid the car is going to hit him." That's not what motivated me. It was my love for him. So much that I'll tell you this, fear means nothing to me because I'll shove him out of the way and take the car myself. It's love that motivates me, not fear. I don't give a rip about fear. When you're motivated by the love, you can do things that seem like, I mean, it's like, well, there's both. No. You're sure there is a fearful situation happening, but your actions are all based on love. When you think of why do people go into the mission field? Is it because they love the people? Hopefully, they love the Lord. Sometimes, and I've seen this, people are afraid they're going to live a life without purpose, and so they go try and do something with purpose. What's their motivator? Fear. Might not be nice to hear, but it's true. Why are you doing this? You afraid you're going to miss something? Are you pursuing God with love? When you're willing to recognize the two and be honest about it, don't sugarcoat it for yourself. Be honest. You will begin to hear the voice of God through love. It's possible that your whole life has been dictated by the voices of fear from those around you. What is a church standard based on love or fear? Pretty clear. What's the slippery slope mentality? Oh, well, don't get started into that because it could lead you down the wrong fear. What keeps you from living a sinful life? Fear about going to hell or love for the Lord? Fear about living a sinful life only leads you into a sinful life. The strength of sin is the law. You, when you say you can't do that, it makes you want to do that. You shouldn't. Oh, no, I want to. That's the fear just does that. And most of our lives, like we've lived our entire lives based on fear. Why do you put money in the savings account? Fear or love? Fear of running up against not having enough or love, willing to use it for anything? Do you think of it? Everything you do for one of those two reasons. I'm highlighting this because this, what it did for me is I recognized how I was raising my children. And I was raising them through fear tactics. Not trying to be fearful, but I was like, well, you wouldn't want that to happen. Well, you better do this or... And it was like I was doing the same thing that I was raised in, and that was all about fear. When I look at, like I've thought about this a lot, and this is raising children. If we'd be talking about that specifically, we could get more into this. But think of this: a child. The Lord showed me a parallel thing. He showed me the life of a person and the life of the world, the life of humanity, that there was a time that law was needed. There is a time in a child's life when law is needed. It's interesting. Before there's relationship, there's law. So I gave my children law to start with. No, that's hot. Don't touch. Law. Law. But I want to touch it. You're going to get burned. You could be like, you're teaching him fear. Because of my love for him, that I told him no. If that perpetuates into adult life, we have not made the transition we should have for ourselves or for our children. So I made the transition, and I was like, okay, Lord, what's the right transition? And I read about Jesus. He's 12 years old. Like, when he was 12 years old, he knew who he was. He finally, he didn't know before, but by the time he was 12, he knew he was the Son of God. He knew he should be about his Father's business. And he began, like he had a relationship by then. So somewhere between little kid and teenager, there needs to be a transition. Do you know why teenagers rebel? They never left the law. Yeah, that's good. This is like easy. So did you rebel? Probably because you had law. You didn't understand the grace of God. When God is speaking to you, he is not speaking through law. He's speaking through grace. He's not speaking. Fear and law are kind of all the same thing. Love and grace are kind of the same. They represent the same thing. God is transitioning you from a life of fear, law, rules, don't do this, don't do that, all that, to a life of love and pure, clear direction. When you hear him, hear his direction through love like that, then you can get somewhere. That's when you're going to do the amazing things that only God can accomplish through you. I'm trying to think how I should wrap this up for, and we're not quite ready to wrap it up, but I have a few stories that I want to tell, and I didn't actually decide which ones to tell yet.
I teach it. They're all good.
It's so when God speaks to you and you receive it through love, through the things that we've talked about here, There's a peace and a rest in your heart. You can rest on his word to you. And it, like when I heard Proverbs 24 and I did what it said, I rested in that. I didn't ask him again. I knew. And no one could change it or take it from me. I had heard him. So my young bride is like, well, aren't we going to build a house? Nope. We didn't know we were moving to Washington. So we'll keep renting. We were living in a mobile home, renting. And she's like, so we're going to keep living here? Yeah. How long? I don't know. Well, we're going to clean up the outside first. Well, would you get busy? not exactly, but let's do the work then. I couldn't answer anything else. All I knew is what the Lord had told me. So I had to rest on that. I had to just live with peace, not knowing the next step. And there is a real struggle that can happen when we know one thing and we do that and we don't know what to do next. And we like, so what? Okay, but would you lay out the story for me? No, if he lays out the story for you, you'll just try and accomplish the end of it instead of enjoying the journey with him. When you're willing to enjoy the journey with him, you get to know him in the process, not just, well, I got it done. Because he's not about the getting it done. He's about the process. He's about your heart. He has all of time at his disposal, so he doesn't have to get it done. He doesn't feel the pressure we feel to hear and act and move on stuff. I'll tell you two stories that have to do with motorsports. I love motorsport, power sports, anything. Anything that has full throttle, you can go. I was in Washington. It was after we moved back, but I went out for my brother's birthday. He was celebrating his 40th birthday. And we got a bunch of guys with dirt bikes, ATVs, you name it, and went to the sand dunes. There's 3,000 acres of sand dunes in Washington State. And some of these dunes are a couple hundred feet high. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So if you're not into power sports, you're going to have to bear with me here. But and they're all pretty good size. There's 28 guys. This is like testosterone, two-cycle, and Jesus. No alcohol and having a blast. So I was riding a dirt bike, and it's a 450. It'll do 90 miles an hour. You know, I mean, it's not like it's just a little wimp. And it was really windy there all the time, and the wind would carve these big notches out of the sand where it's like it could drop off a ways. And it's just a straight wall. So wind's blowing in there. It's all the same color, and so you can't see it. So we looked at all those cliffs are all facing one direction. So if you're ever driving to the northeast or wherever the direction was, be aware. Well, we're messing around, the wind's blowing, and I rooster tailed a big pile of sand on my friend. He was downwind of me, and I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna load him up. So I just, and he just got coated with sand. And he's looking at me, and he's like doing this. He takes off after me. So I'm looking back, and the Lord had told me, like, this is part of the process, is I'm talking to him all the time about hearing him. I want to hear you. And he had been telling me, I need immediate obedience. You have to do what I say. When I say don't argue, you do act when I tell you. I'm like, okay. He said, will you do it? I'm like, yes, I will. Just tell me. I'll do it. Whatever. What is it? And he didn't, you know. So this was on my heart. Even flying out there, I'm talking to him, and he's like, do what I say. Like, don't argue. So I'm looking back, and I'm probably doing 50 miles an hour. I don't know. Looking this way and trying to stay upwind of him. And I looked back, and like 10 feet in front of me is this cliff that drops off. Like, it's a drop-off. This is like slow motion in my mind when I'm thinking about this, but I'm looking at him, I look back, and the Lord says, gas it! I mean, just, And I just, boom, I mean, full throttle, no thought. I didn't even process what's going to happen. I just, full throttle immediately. If I would have braked out of fear, I would have cartwheeled down into that thing. It was a 12-foot drop-off. Probably wrecked the bike, destroyed it. I mean, it would have broke the forks anyway. And who knows what happened to me. As it was, I launched off of there. We stepped it off. I jumped 75 feet in the air before it landed. And I landed this thing and I was like, bottomed it out and came out and stopped. And my friend comes up to the edge and he's like, what was that? Nobody in their right mind would have had the ability to recover that quickly. Maybe, okay, a professional X Games rider, maybe. But it happened so fast, I couldn't, my brain, I heard him and responded quicker than my brain could respond. And he saved me. And it was the coolest jump ever. It was amazing. So I listened and I did what he said. Now, fast forward to 3 years ago, and you heard this story. It had snowed. I was over at my brother-in-law's, and he has a snowmobile and 800, so it's a nice big snowmobile. And when we were in Washington, I rode a lot, put thousands of miles on snowmobiles. So, and we used to ride avalanche chutes. We'd ride all kinds of stuff, jumping off of mountains, landing it on the slope. Like, okay, so I know how to ride a snowmobile. And I would challenge somebody. It'd be fun. We'd test it out. And so I got on my brother-in-law's snowmobile, and my nephew rode around the field, and he comes back. He goes, I hit 69. I'm like, again. And I'm thinking, I can hit 70. And I can do it on a wheelie. Like, you stand on the back of a sled and pull it up. I mean, you can ride it. Well, as soon as I thought that, the Lord spoke to me and he said, don't do this. I mean, so clearly, and I answered him. I said, I got this. And literally, like, I just said, I have been riding at 100 miles an hour and pull it up on a ski and ride with a snowmobile. Like, I know how to do it. I've done it so much. It's like I don't have to think about it. I can flip a snowmobile around on a mountain slope. This is just a field. It's like easy. Anyway, well, I pulled it up and ended up hitting a clod of dirt that I couldn't see. I only rode that thing 100 yards and hit this dirt doing 60-some miles an hour and flew off of it. And this sled cartwheeled down the field. It totaled the sled. It was a garage sale. I rode 100 yards and totaled my brother-in-law's sled because I didn't listen to the Lord say, don't do this. And, I mean, I flew off of that thing. I flipped and rolled and flew. And when I thought I was done, I flipped and rolled and flew and skidded and flipped again. I kept going. No helmet. Wasn't planning to do it. I just jumped on and did it. That was only a couple years ago. Two years ago. And torqued my knee. And the Lord told me, like, I was so mad because I knew I heard him. This is the dumbest thing ever. It's expensive, too. This is the expensive snowmobile. And I was mad and I was, you know, whatever. And he goes, it's okay. I said, that was so dumb. He goes, yeah, it was. And then he said, it's okay. You've injured your meniscus. I'm healing it. And I'll pay for the sled. Just like that. It was so, like, in my anger and frustration, he just came to me and he goes, it's okay. That was really dumb. Now listen to me. by the end of the year, that was the last snow of the year, by the way. My brother-in-law couldn't use his sled anyway. And by the end of the year, the Lord gave me an extra, I got a bonus. And I bought him another sled. And I went into the chiropractor, looked at my knee, and he's like, that was your meniscus. And I was on crutches. I mean, it was, by the next day, I think it was the next day, I was able to walk into the chiropractor. I was like, it's no pain. And he's like, man, wow, that's fast. I said, the Lord healed me. It was my meniscus. He told me he's healing me. And that was it. He just checked and he's like, yeah, I don't have anything to do with this. This looks good. So even in our failures, he's there for us. He loves us. He'll speak to you. Listen when he tells you something. He didn't say, don't do this with fear. He spoke it to me in love. And I, there's more that I want to say about this, and we'll get into this next time. But there is a rest that we can live in. We live in a rest. There is a rest for the people of God. And I want to talk about that next time. These are some of the specifics of what to look for, how to hear his voice, what worked this time. You live with an attitude of rest, and you walk in step with him. This is another book, Hearing God, How to Recognize His Voice by Barry Bennett. Barry's one of the instructors out at Caris Bible College, and this is a really good book. It's simple, and he just goes through actually a lot of the things that I'm talking about. He says you can hear God. Believe it. Have a revelation. Get a revelation of righteousness, a revelation of healing, the stirring of your spirit, like the secret place. I mean, these are, if you can, get this book as well. Get both of these, read them, but then go after your own experience with the Lord. Don't just take what I've said as the way it is. Let him lead you. Let him instruct you.